I'd like to welcome everybody to our Bible study this afternoon, one pertaining to the foundations of the faith that we start doing every Tuesday here at 2 o'clock. So thankful and grateful for those who are able to join live and those who might not be able to join live but might be able to watch a little bit later. Today what we want to talk about in this session of foundations of the faith is really going off of what we talked about last time. And what we talked about last time, last Tuesday, I believe the date was May 12th, but what we talked about there was your faith. And really what we looked at is we looked at the account in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 that we have of Joash as king at a very young age. And we read that in all the days of Jehoiada the priest, Joash was faithful. But once Jehoiada left this life, he died, and Joash was left there without Jehoiada. We see that he succumbed to those who came down and bowed down to him, and we see idol worship and other things end up happening as a result. And so we went from there, went into a lesson, and talked again last time about the fact that it's important that your faith is your own, that it's not dependent on somebody else's, that you don't believe what you believe, and you don't have faith in what you have faith in just because somebody else has it. Could be a close friend, could be a grandma or grandpa, maybe a mother or a father, a mom or dad. Maybe it's a preacher. Maybe it's somebody that you look up to. But see, so many times in this life, people believe what they believe, or they have faith in whatever it is they have faith in whenever it pertains to spiritual matters, because so-and-so believes it. And that's extremely dangerous, because once that individual is removed from that element, right, it's appointed for all men to die. Once they die and they're removed from us, now what is our foundation going to be on? It's got to be because we believe what God's Word said. Or it might not be that they pass away from this life. It could be that they end up being a fake, a phony, or a fraud. That they're teaching you and telling you the right things that might be found there in Scripture, but they're not living. They never made the application to their life. And whenever you notice that, whenever you recognize that, now your faith, is it going to veer off where theirs goes? Or is it going to be one that stays founded on God's Word? That's what we talked about last time. And the reason why I said it sets up we're talking about this time is because last time we talked about your faith and making sure that it's your own, that you're the one that has studied it and made that application to your life. It can't be based off or dependent on somebody else. But what we want to look at today is, yes, we have you have your faith, but is your faith subjective? Can it be whatever it is that you want it to be? Or is there the faith? Is there a faith, an objective faith that we are all to subscribe to, and that our faith needs to come into line with? And the answer to that question is yes, and that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at and look at the idea of the faith and recognize that there is only one, and that there is only one that we are to submit to. And so to start off with that, I want to read first over here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. We read here in this account, Paul writing says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." And so what we see and what we recognize from this is there is one. And the oneness that is in the unity of Christ, and that's what we're talking about prior to this, is talking about the unity of the body. And so what we see here as we go through, there's one hope, one Lord, one faith. And then he goes on to say, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. And so we recognize that there is one faith. There's one faith that we subscribe to. There's not multiple faith. This means that the same thing is going to be taught and the same thing is going to be believed. We recognize and notice the rest of these, that whenever we read there is one Lord, that there is one God and all these other different things, we recognize that it doesn't mean that there are multiple lords, that there's not multiple gods, and that there's not multiple, that we see and recognize there is one. We need to do the same thing and make sure that we're being consistent with whenever we're making that application, that we recognize there's one faith as well. And what that one faith is, isn't that we just believe in Jesus Christ and believe in God and then that's it, and we can believe and practice whatever we want. Paul tells us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, that he taught the same thing everywhere, that he went in every church. We read that here in verse 17. "See, for this reason I've sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ." Pay attention here. "As I teach everywhere and in every church." See, Paul didn't go to one area and then say, oh, I'm going to teach them differently from the standpoint of teaching them a different doctrine. He taught them the exact same things. Yes, we know that whenever Paul went around, based on the culture, he might teach them a little bit differently, but he taught the same truth. Okay? We need to understand that, and we need to recognize that. That it wasn't that he went over here to this city, then went over here to this city, then went over here to that city and taught different truths everywhere he went. It was the exact same truth, as I teach everywhere and in every church. Everywhere he went and every church he went to, the same truth was taught. The same doctrine was taught. The same message was taught. And we recognize that's what Jesus wanted. Whenever Jesus gives the Great Commission, he says, all authority has been given to me. And we read through the different accounts, especially when we look at Mark. So Matthew says, all authority has been given to me. Go and teach these things. And in Mark's account, he says, everywhere and to all creatures. Everybody's going to get the exact same message. It's not going to be different depending on where you are. Everywhere, every creature, everywhere and in every church, that same message is taught. So what we see then is this. We see that there is one faith, and that one faith has the same message. Not multiple, not different messages. And in fact, we see here in Galatians an account of a church who had been taught that truth from Paul, had been taught that message, that same message he taught everywhere in every church. And then in comes the Judaizing teachers, and they start having an influence on those there, and Paul condemns the brethren at Galatia for turning to a different gospel. Let's read here. We read here in Galatians 1, chapter 6. This is at the very beginning of the letter. He gets right to the heart of the matter, his concern and what he's writing to him about. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Recognize that. He's marveling because they're turning to something different than what he had taught. Wait a minute, they still believe in Christ, right? You read throughout the letter. The only thing that we kind of see that is a difference is this idea of circumcision being taught and believed and all those types of things that it's required. But see, it's not the fact that they just believe that Christ was the Son of God and God is and believe him and then we're all okay no matter what your differences are. He's pointing out the fact that you are going into apostasy. You're going down the path of a doctrine. No, you're believing something that is wrong. And he tells them, I marvel that you are turning away from that I taught you, which brought you into salvation. In fact, he talks about that just before that here in Galatians 1, 3 through 5. Let's see what he says, though, as he continues here. He says in verse 8 and 9, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Recognize what he's saying. He's saying that the gospel has been given to you. That message, that doctrine, how to obtain salvation and be saved and all those types of things and how to continue on with your life. And if anyone comes to you, I don't care if it's the message that I gave you, I don't care if it's an angel from heaven. If it's different than that, you are not to accept it. You're not to hear it. Why? Because it's not part of the faith. See, we understand and we recognize that whenever we say that there is one faith, there is one truth. This is not a subjective matter where you can believe what you want to believe and I can believe what you want to believe. And as long as we believe, as long as we both can come to the same conclusion that God is and Jesus is his son and he died for our sins, then we're all good. It doesn't matter if you practice this during your worship service. It doesn't mean if you believe this is how you obtain salvation and you believe that this is how you obtain salvation. As long as we understand those two basic principles. That's not what Paul is saying. And we've got to understand that. Because whenever I talked last time about your faith and your faith having to be yours, that did not mean that I could believe whatever I want and I'm all good. Your faith has to come in line with the faith. And there is only one faith to believe. And there is unity that is in that is required. And it's something that's not subjective, but objective. It's an objective fixed standard that all can come to an understanding of, and that's what we see here. The fact that there is one faith. And not only is there one faith that we laid out in these three scriptures, but we also see that one faith is the faith that's to be contended. Is to be contended from the standpoint of you are to contend against false teaching, and you are to guard against false teaching. And so we see that here when we look at Jude, verses 3 and 4. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. There was the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. This is what you need to do to obtain salvation and to stay in a right standing with God. It is the faith, and what he's wanting them to do is he's exhorting them to contend earnestly for it. Do not let others come in and change it and easily take it and do whatever they want with it. You have to contend for it because there is one fixed standard that we all have to follow. It can't be whatever it is that you want to be. So we see him encouraging them and saying that that's what he's doing. Verse 4, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the Lord, and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You see what those who go against the faith, that fixed standard, the objective standard that we have, you see what they're what they're called, ungodly men? They turn that grace of God into lewdness and deny the Lord, deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here that we are to contend for it. We recognize Paul whenever he writes to Timothy. Here at the very beginning of this first letter, here in verse 3, as I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach what? No other doctrine. You recognize that? You see that pattern that we see as we go throughout Scripture? There is one faith. Paul taught the same thing everywhere that he went. And those that went off and veered from it, even in a way that one might say, oh, that's not that big of a... Whenever they went off and veered from it, Paul told him, I can't believe that you're doing that. I'm marveling that you're doing that. And then we see that he's telling Timothy here, that you may charge them that they teach no other doctrine. You are not to teach anything different. You're not to teach anything other than what has been given to us and what you have. And I urge you, right? And I charge you. That's why I charge you to do this. That they teach no other doctrine. And as you go throughout the letter, you see that that's what Paul's doing. Paul's talking to him about sound doctrine and how to combat those and why it's important to stand for the truth and preach the truth, and because you're going to have these people that are, they're going to want to listen and hear these other doctrines, but it goes against the doctrine of Christ. And that's really what he ends with. So he starts here with 1 Timothy, or he starts here at the very beginning of the letter that he's going to charge him that they teach no other doctrine. And then he ends it here in this first epistle, his first letter to Timothy. Oh, Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is false. By professing it, those profane and idle babblings, all those types of things, by professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. You recognize that? Some have strayed. They have gone away from the faith, that fixed standard. Why? Because of these other doctrines that have come in. And so that's what Paul is doing. He's telling Timothy, I want you to guard it. I want you to charge others that they don't teach anything different than what can be found in Scripture. And that's your that's your standard that you go to. This isn't a subjective thing where it's okay if they teach that and it's okay if they teach that, as long as they both agree on just the big principles that God is and Jesus is the Son, we're all good. Paul's telling them there is a fixed standard that is to be followed, and that's what he's getting at throughout this whole letter. There's this fixed standard that there is to be followed, and I want you to work with those in Ephesus. I want you to teach them these things and charge them that they teach nothing different, because some have strayed concerning that faith. And so we see that, and we recognize that. We see the danger of false teaching and those that go against the faith. And so Paul tells Timothy this, and we see that standard being laid out there. But not only do we see that there is one faith, and the one faith is to be guarded, and false teaching is to be contended with, but we also see that there is one doctrine we are to abide in. We read here in 2 John, verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in Christ, he who abides in the doctrine of Christ, has both the Father and the Son. You recognize that there. He or whoever transgresses and does not do what? Abide in the doctrine of Christ. Doesn't have God. What does that mean then? That means that there is a doctrine of Christ that we are to abide in. There is a fixed standard that we are to abide in. And the one that doesn't, that one does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ, so has both the Father and the Son. So we recognize those that abide in it, have God. But what is abiding in, right? There might be that question. Well, what does it mean to abide in the doctrine of Christ? If you go back to John chapter 15 in the gospel account, Jesus talking here, and John records this, shows us what that idea of abiding is. Whenever you look in verses 1 through 10, we see Jesus talking about the fact that you are to abide in me and abide in my love, and I abide in the Father's love and all those types of things. And square in the middle of this is the discussion about what abiding means. Abiding means to abide in the words, abide in the words of Christ. And Jesus even said that in verse 10, whenever he said, this is how I abide in the Father. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in me and my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So we recognize what abiding is, what abiding in is. Abiding in is keeping the commandments, keeping the words that are there, keeping that doctrine that was given to us. This is what we are to do and what we are not to do. See, your faith must be in line with the faith. Otherwise, you have not God. That's what John is getting at here, and that's what we're studying through and what we just laid out in this little live session, in this little devotional. Okay? It can't be just that my faith is my faith and it's my own, but I believe whatever it is that I want. Your faith has to be that you believe what God's Word said. Your faith has to come in line with the faith. And understand that there is a faith that all are subjective to, that all are to come to, that all are to abide in that doctrine of Christ. There is that one faith that has that same teaching everywhere in every church. And those that weren't, or that went astray from it, they were condemned for it. Not only that, there is that one faith that we are that is to be guarded against, or to be guarded and is to be contended with when others try to come in and destroy it. And so we recognize that and we see that. The fact that our faith, yes, needs to be our own. But as we laid out here this afternoon, it has to come in line with the faith. I hope this study was helpful. I hope this study was what was encouraging and what was edifying to you. And if you have any questions about it, you know, a lot of people look around and they see all these different churches and they see them practicing different things, practicing and worshiping in different ways, believing different things. But one over here believes that this is okay, and another one over here believes that, no, that's really not okay. How? And it's all this subjectivity. Are all okay? No. We have the faith that all are to come to know and to have a knowledge of. And we need to make sure that we take our faith and put it in line with the faith. The only way that that's done, again, this does go back to the last lesson. This isn't done by, well, I believe it because it's what my mom or my dad believe, or it's what my best friend believes, or it's what my grandma and grandpa believes, or it's because that's what the preacher says. No, you believe it because you've studied it in God's Word, and God's Word tells you that it's so. That's our objective standard. The way of man is not in himself. And so it's time that we stop listening to just men, and what we do is we start listening to God's Word. We do what the brethren in Berea did in Acts 17:11, which is they heard the Word of God, they heard that it was preached, but they took it, and they compared it and examined it with the Scriptures. And that which was true, they applied to their life. That's what we need to do. It isn't just because somebody believes it or somebody else says it. It's because they say it. But what they say is in line with the faith. It's in line with God's Word. That objective standard. Then I can make that application to my faith and to my life. Hopefully, again, that this was helpful and encouraging and edifying to you. If you have any need and would love to study, I would love to study with you. If you have any questions about what we talked about today, I'd love to talk about that with you as well. Hopefully in the future, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some examples. So today we talked about the faith. We're going to look at some examples of those whose faith did not line up with God's commands and what happened as a result to them. So we'll try to look at that in a further study. It might be next Tuesday, but hopefully you'll join us next Tuesday at 2:00 as we go along and have another session of Foundations of the Faith. Again, thank you for joining us. Hope you have a great rest.